By George. That is a good one. Have you heard the new Bulgarian jokes? We're all through with the Italian jokes and Polish jokes and Bulgarian jokes. What's a Bulgarian watermelon? Huh? You don't know? Stay tuned for it. It's getting sillier all the time. Tonight, we salute Julia Mead. Other great Americans. It's I see this kid. The other day, I'm out in the country, you know, and I see this kid. He's got one of these aerosol cans of black paint. And he's squirting black paint all over the sides of a rocky hillside. And he's squirting a big sign, and it says, "Protect our environment." It's like crying out loud. Where do we stop? And I says, "Hey, kid, quit squirting the paint all over the hills." He says, "Protect our environment." I says, "What are you doing? You're squirting black paint all over the hills." He says, "What are you, fascist pig?" "Yeah, I have a fascist pig. Let's go." Holding on the gang now. Hello, it's time now for Super Sub.
Just a song at twilight. La-da-dee-dee.
Hey, you know what tonight is? A very important night. This date. Can you tell me what the date is? Anybody there in the control room? You're getting close. You're only 4 days off. That's right. Well, this is an important date, and I would like to celebrate it with you. And there's not much to celebrate these days. Of course, all of you know that Kierkegaard was born today. I'm sure that a lot of you celebrated Kierkegaard's birth tonight by sitting on the corner and looking somberly off into the middle distance, contemplating the navel of your... You mean to tell me you do not know what a Bulgarian watermelon is? You stay tuned, friends. You'll hear about this. This also happens to be the anniversary of Napoleon's entry into Moscow. And you know how that wound up. But we would... It was a bad trip. But if I may excuse... Oh, what a bad thing I just said. It was a bad trip. Silly. Hey, by the way, I'm glad to report that they now have drive-in confessionals. For those of you who... would like to confess, the Louis Fani made the scene big in that department. We now have a confessional. It is a drive-in. You just drive up next to this priest. He's sitting there in his own little... He's in a little Fiat, it looks like. He runs down the window, and you confess, and then drive off. Kind of nice. And that's all part of it. You know, they have drive-in funerals, drive-in confessionals now. And they have, in certain parts of Maryland, they have drive-in marriages now, you know. You don't even get out of your car. And the witnesses sit on the hood. And it's kind of nice. They have, it's coming. After all, there's been drive-in procreation for a long time. Another story. We don't want to get into that. However, I will say that tonight, I would like to celebrate, if you will, tonight, I would like to have you join me in a celebration. How about that? Isn't that a groovy fanfare? We would like to celebrate tonight. I want you to all gather around here. Come on, kid, hang on my knee. Excuse me, lady, I didn't know it was your foot. Get your foot out of the desk, will you? Oh, you silly. Get off my sandwich! Dancing on the table over there. Get off my sandwich! That's my sangria over there. Hey, don't try it, you-hoo. wild strawberry yuzu with a finger of vodka in it. Oh, Ruby. It's called the wild strawberry yuzu vodka. Kind of a creative name. July 22nd, 1904. We salute thee! July 22nd, 1904. The ice cream cone was invented. On this day, where was the ice cream cone invented? Was it invented at the corner of 46th and 7th Avenue? No. Did it come from Princeton? No. Did it come from the centers of greater learning in America? No. It came from St. Louis, Missouri. And what a fantastic event. I'm quoting the monitor here. What with... Well, I just simply say that... the anonymous inventor of that geometrically perfect delicacy began to... He had no idea what he was inventing when he did it. 1904, the first ice cream cone. It's hard to imagine a world without ice cream cones. And the ice cream cone has had a tremendous effect, I say, on the culture of our time. Far more, yes, far more than we often suspect. Just the ice cream cone. First of all, I think it has contributed to the feeling of insecurity that many of us feel. I doubt whether anybody ever grows to full manhood or full peoplehood, personhood, womanhood, whateverhood, who grows to full hoodhood without at one time losing the top ball of a double ball ice cream cone in one wild, terrible moment. I mean, that doesn't happen in other countries before the ice cream cone was invented. And so you have a feeling always. And also, too, there's the race against the melting process. This causes man to constantly have a sense of pursuing a rabbit that's going around the track eternally. You're licking away, and nothing is better than to have the bottom of the ice cream cone dissolve and it slowly dribbles down all over your knee. And, yeah, all right, that's all part of it. And there's always a sense of imminent disaster with ice cream cones. But I don't want to bother you with this. This is not relevant, is it, kid? Relevant? It is? I think so, it is. Because it's what made you what you are, nervous. It's made you what you are, with a big mouth and a loud voice, too, all the time. This ice cream cone's presented that problem. How many hours have people waited in line? Did I ever tell you about the Great Ice Cream War? I've told you about that. One of the worst things I ever saw in my life. First time I began to realize that man was not what I thought he was over ice cream. In fact, ice cream has played an integral part in most of our lives, whether we know it or not. The old man, I remember him come stomping up the back steps, you know. July night, just like this, hot, his shirt is half off by the time he's across the porch, you know, his tie is off, and you can see his BBDs flapping. The instant he gets into the house, he's stripped bare naked, and he runs through the house, through the dining room, and into the bedroom. He puts on his old rotten clothes, comes running out, says, "Let's go out and get some ice cream." Big deal. Big moment. Now, I mean, we're the product of a lot of things. Many swings, many arrows. I don't know whether Hamlet knows what it's like, or whether he did lick the top of an ice cream cone. Now, this may sound silly and irrelevant to you. It isn't really. It's not really. This is Americana. It's Americana, really. It's not Americana. It's Americana. Help save our Hudson River. My Hudson River? Not my Hudson River. Your Hudson River. Ain't mine. I like that duck. Floats around in a pond and somebody throws half a grapefruit at him. But that's part of the world you have to accept. And I remember being affected strongly by an ice cream cone when I was a kid. But, and this has nothing to do with about being a kid. But you see, we were all kids once. And much of what we had and did as a kid is totally painful. Do you agree with that, Herb? I mean, it's not easy. In fact, being anything isn't easy. Pretty bad even being a SEAL today. You know, there's a lot of worries. If a mile, maybe 2 miles outside of town, and this big vacant lot, And in this vacant lot, they had erected a gigantic four-story high ice cream cone. And you see, only in America do they erect a restaurant that look like pickles. You've seen a big restaurant that looks like a hat. Who the hell wants to go eat in a derby? But you've seen them. You've seen some of the most waffle-looking buildings in the world. They're here, right here in America. They look like Angkor Wat. Anybody who's ever seen the Margate elephant knows what man is capable of. If you've ever seen the Margate elephant, you can't have any hope for man. And ultimately, well, all right. About a mile away from our house when I was a kid, they started to build this building. You know, we used to go down all the time on our bikes to steal nails and stuff. Whenever they were building a new building, we'd steal nails and various types of shingles and stuff. And they had the, you know how in the front of a new building, big commercial building here in New York, whenever it's going up, they have a sign on how the building's going to look when it's finally up. You've seen those pictures? You ever seen a building turn out like one of those pictures? Oh, it's so fantastic. They look like the Brave New World, those pictures. It shows people strolling around looking elegant in front of them, those little tiny people that they have. And look, there's always little trees, little green trees. That says an artist rendering of the new Excelsior building, 752 stories of desperate men that will be built right here on this lot. Come around and watch them jump out of the windows at 5 o'clock after the market has dropped another 50 points. There's a picture of them all walking around looking elegant. And of course, when it finally is developed and put up there, by the time it's up, the windows are dirty and the offices are leaking. There's signs all over it say for rent, for sale. And, you know what I'm talking about. Little chicks are walking around down the front there with their white vinyl bags. And, it's just not the way it was originally started. You know, the sordid is always with us. Sordid. And that reminds me, this is WOR New York. Hit the button, Herbert.
Today's feeling happy.
It's the kind of day to unwind.
Bring on the unexpected pleasure. Michelob.
Right. Michelob is the one beer that's always an unexpected pleasure.
Surprise people.
Hey, listen, speaking of New York, I have a piece of the current Car and Driver that just got on the stand, the August issue that deals with one facet of New York. Hit the stands about 2 days ago. Hey, listen, speaking of pieces and writing, is there anybody out there who read The Mole People Battle the Forces of Darkness yet? You heard? You didn't? In the current Playboy, August, The Mole People Battle the Forces of Darkness. Is there one person, is there any kid out there who went to summer camp or just got back from summer camp or who is now in summer camp? Do you know that I get letters from kids? I got a letter from a kid here last week. And he's in this camp, Camp Rutabaggy, or it's a Rutabaggy on the Thames or something up in the Catskills. And he's desperate because they frisked him when he came into camp and took away his radio. And he said, yeah, his radio's been impounded. He says, and now he's cut off completely from civilization. Because all he can do is make wallets, this leather craft. And he's making phallic symbol wallets to try to get back at him. And the guy came over the other day, he says, he's got this real jock for a counselor. He's saying, what are you making there, kid? And here he's making this obscene wallet. And the guy said, what do you call that? And he says, I fooled him. I said it was an old Indian sign. Oh, yeah, that looks pretty Indian there. And he walked off. He says, he's afraid, though, however, the whole camp is going to get busted for obscene material when it turns out they find out what he's making in the leathercraft factory there. But the kid is, he's in trouble. And is there any kid out there who has read The Mole People Battle the Forces of Darkness and recognizes his camp? The current Playboy. But four or five blocks down, I'll never forget that ice cream cone because it had such a drive on it. On our time, at least on my time. I mean, everywhere you look, there's cockroaches now. You can't ignore the cockroach. You know that the word is out now that this will be ultimately the cockroach age. You know, there was the age of reason, there was the age of the reptiles. We assumed this, you know, would be the age of the human being, didn't we? For all this time, we've been told this by Lindsay. What's Lindsay doing about all this? Huh. I saw a sign in the subway today. It says, either stop the war or get a new mayor. Now, that's what I call deep thinking on the part of the average subway riding slob. Stop the war or get a new mayor. I can't figure out what the connection is there, but in the dim Neanderthal mind of the subway rider, there must be some. There must be some. Way down there at the bottom of the swamp, you can see those frogs floating around.
Hey, Charlie! What's going on up there at the top of the pond?
Is it a frog? Is it a tadpole? Is it an ape? No! It's Super Subway Rider!
That concludes tonight's salute to Vox Populi, the voice of the people. Drive-in confessional. Oh, yeah, I can just see the day, though, when it finally, when the drive-in complex finally takes over totally, you know, all the way. Yeah, hello, kid. Yeah, is it okay? Yeah, hello. Yeah, you read what? You read that sign on the wall that says, get a new mayor or stop the war, huh? You read the piece? Hey, that ain't no article. That's a short story. Yeah? It was good anyway. What camp did you go to? Where?
Our camp.
Did it sound just like your camp, kid?
Yeah, counselors and all.
What was the name of your cabin?
Gee, I don't remember the name of it. We had a campsite, and you slept in these tents.
Yeah, of course.
And for 2 weeks, you know, the tent would leak, and,
yeah.
They'd, when you get up there, the tent said no. And then the kids put, insect repellent on the tent.
That helped. The water came through like nothing then, huh?
Right. And every time you touch it, it would start raining.
Didn't kill the bugs, but you sure got a lot of bug juice in your ears, didn't you?
Yeah.
Isn't it fun, camp?
Yeah, it's great.
And, of course, they thought a lot of clean thoughts there at camp, didn't they?
Yeah, and how. Every night.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Oh, man. See, nothing changes. It just gets worse. That's all. But, nevertheless, since this is the anniversary of the creation of the ice cream cone. Can you imagine the guy that made the first ice cream cone? He was just, you know, I was just fooling around. He didn't sit there and think about it. The most great inventions, great cataclysmic moments. The guy, first guy that invented the wheel, didn't really, he didn't really think about it. I'm sure he did, you know? No, he didn't sit down and figure it out. You know, go through various phases of the invention. He started out with a square, you know. No, he didn't. It just sort of worked out that way. And the first ice cream cone must have been a great moment. And we have some information as to how it actually occurred, the first ice cream cone. Are you curious? Of course, you must realize, to make the first ice cream cone, since there were no cones in existence at the time, which came first? So it presents a very difficult situation, and how it came about is a story that even boggles the imagination of the greatest science fiction writer. But the moment that that first ice cream cone sprang full-blown, like a Venus from the Cyprian seas, it was immediately recognized by those all around as both a danger and a great boon to mankind. In fact, I one time was driving a car, talking about a danger, one time I'm driving a car, saying I'm just wheeling along on Route 41, just paying attention to nothing, you know, just sitting there. And, of course, all along Route 41 in Indiana, just like any place else, they got about 5,000 drive-ins, see? So I go into this AMW drive-in, and I drive in there, and I have my root beer, and I'm drinking a root beer, and I have a big hot dog. And so I take the hot dog with me, so I'm driving down the street, and I'm US 41, it's a big highway, see, and then I'm driving along eating a hot dog. and 1,000 cars are on all sides of me. And then I got this beautiful new shiny car. At least it was a shiny car. It was an old car, but I shined it. It's my pride and joy, actually. And I'm driving along, eating my hot dog. The music is playing great. And up ahead of me is a car with about 15 kids in it. And there's always a car ahead of you with about 15. You know, just a sea of heads up ahead of you. And did you hear about the guy they arrested up in Connecticut the other day? They arrested a guy that was driving. And this is a true story. It came in on the news. Guy was driving along. And they arrested him, and he had 28 people in his car. Did you read about him? 28 people in his car. It was a regular car. You know, it wasn't a stage wagon. So there are 20 people. They come out, I'm piling a precinct of 28 people standing on the street. And it turns out that not only did he have 28 people, he was a one-armed driver. Caused a little excitement. Furthermore, he did not have a driver's license. So it was just a terrible mess. You know, they just took the whole bunch down and threw them in the Bastille, and they ain't been heard from since. Hey, Lee, please, hang up with the guy. Please, please, would you tell Miss Brown in there that I have to talk to him? I have something important. Please, you can tell him to call Eddie and give me a date with him later. Come on. Miss Brown, would you go in and see my underground reporter, Charlie, in there, and tell him that that great news item that he gave me is on the desk that where I was sitting? Tell him. Hurry up. Snap. Pronto, go get it. He knows what it's about. We got a great news item that just came in that you want to hear about. But nevertheless, since the ice cream cone did bring so much happiness and joy, one of the great moments in the ice cream world was me. We were driving along with my car that day. Do you ever have anything like this happen to you? This big sea of heads up ahead of me in this car. And we're all whipping along about 40 miles, 50, 60 miles an hour. It's good, you know, going really pretty fast, you know, like a turnpike. And driving along there, and I'm listening to the radio and eating my hot dog. You know, you're on top of it. You never know when disaster's really going to strike, and strike bad. I mean, really going to hit you bad. And it did. I saw something flash in the sun. It was a brief instant. I just saw something flash in the sun. And the next thing I know, right in the middle of my windshield, splat! I get a triple-dip Tutti Frutti ice cream cone that somebody threw out of the window right in the middle of my windshield. It just ran down all over. I couldn't see anything. Ah! For one instant, my whole life passed before my eyes. I could see myself pushing into a window. I could see myself, you know. It's this local up and coming, rising young man, undone by ice cream cone, plunges in the ditch, flaming wreck, triple dip, tutti frutti ice cream cone, kills local man. You know, there's so many terrible things that can happen to a man in his life that. It far exceeds any black comedy. Did I tell you about the time I'm not in New York 5 minutes. The first time I came to New York. No wonder I have a sense of imminent disaster. I'm walking across. Does this kind of stuff happen to Mike Douglas? You can't conceivably see it happening to Dick Cavett. You know, elegant little Dick Cavett. No. I'm walking across the street right here on 6th Avenue, you know. You know, big business, you know, traffic going up and down 6th Avenue. I look very carefully. See, I'm a careful type walker. And I look very carefully to the left, look very carefully to the right. I'm the kind of guy that looks both ways on a one-way street. Now, that is a safe guy. Either that's a very nervous guy. I can't tell which. So I look to the right, I look to the left, and all the traffic is moving on 6th Avenue. There's a great mile of traffic, and I see the light changes. See, and I'm cool. See, so I start going out across 6th Avenue. It's a big, wide street. Now I'm in the middle of 6th Avenue, and I suddenly hear the sound of a humming engine coming off to my right, like that. See, and I look up, and for one brief instant, I can't believe what I see. Outlined against the sun, coming right at me, the guy came right out of a side street, and he's bearing down right on me. It's a log cabin, a house. I'm about to be run down by the chock full of nuts house. Oh, my God. Man run over by chock full of nuts house on 6th Avenue. Blasted hopes, blasted dreams disappear in a moment. Was man born for this?
had penny collection, Ma. It's gone. Everything's gone. What happened? What do you mean you threw it out? Those were Indian head pennies.
Thank you. It was good.
WORAM Radio will provide live coverage of the launching of the Apollo 15 moon flight. Gee, do you remember when it was Apollo 1? Do you remember good old Apollo 8? Oh, my favorite was Apollo 7. How many of you remember that one? And 12 was kind of cute. But Apollo 15 is going up, another one. So he needs another moonshot. Approximately 9:30 a.m. on Monday, July 26. And old WORAM will be on hand. Jack Allen is going to be at the Cape to describe the myriad of activities during the critical launching period of Apollo 15. We haven't had a good fizz yet, have we? A fizzle. You know, one that they turned all the buttons. No, it just doesn't do nothing. It just sits there and makes a hissing sound. Ooh, don't say what a bad look. Oh, well. Well, man is finally shooting the moon. Hey, do any of you know what the expression means, to shoot the moon? Aha. Man's at last doing it. Bring it on there. Let's salute man. He finally made it. Kind of serious. Kind of serious. Oh, we'd like to, if you will, we'd like to salute another citizen of the 20th century world who just made a gesture. I'll let you decide what gesture he made. You got it all set in there, Herbert? Okay. Tonight, we would like to salute world citizen... Tonight, this radio station takes great pride in saluting world citizen Roger Lockhart of Ledbury, England. When Roger Lockhart's pet rat nipped him on the finger during a bus ride in Ledbury, England, he promptly bit off its head and tossed it out the window. A magistrate's court heard today. Lockhart, 21, said, and we quote... I got very angry when he bit me. I just lost my head. About the poor rat. He really lost his head. The court was told several women passengers were greatly distressed and had to be given first aid for shock. So tonight, we salute Roger Lockhart. Yes, Roger, in this world, in this tough, hard-bitten world of now... It's us or them. You know, the English are a strange race, I'll tell you. I mean, they go... I mean, you know, jack a ripper on up and down. Did you ever see... speaking of rats... I got a curious thing on rats in England, you know. The idea of Roger Lockhart riding around with his pet rat. That reminds me of this current movie, Wilbur. That's right. That's English, too, you know. You don't know what the movie Wilbur's about? Well, I ain't going to tell you, friends, huh? All right, now we're getting corrected, as we always do, from the inside. Yes, dear. Willard. Well, Wilbur's a better name. You scratch a Wilbur and you got a Willard. Scratch a Willard and you got a Wilbur. Scratch a Woody and you got a Clarence. But nevertheless, the movie Willard is about Englishmen vis-a-vis rats. Well, now, we've got our own problems, so have the English. They've got their problems. Little old gentlemen sealing up elderly seamstresses in the wall. Roger Lockhart riding around with his pet rat and biting his head off of the bus in Ledbury.
Wouldn't that make a fantastic movie scene? What a wild scene that would make. opening scene, so you see this nice English type guy, you know, Albert Finney type, you know, he's riding along in the bus from Ledbury. And it's a, you know, Ledbury, by the way, is one of those towns with cathedrals and stuff, and nice postmen riding around on their bicycles, and toddling kids and pigeons, you know, the whole English bit. He's riding along a leaded glass window, and you see suddenly peeking out from under his waistcoat, he's got this checkered Tattersall waistcoat. It's Albert Finney sitting there. You see this little rat suddenly peek out. You don't know what the movie's about. A little rat peeks out. And so he's riding along. He says, stop, stop. He gets him on the nose. The rat ducks his little head back into the waistcoat. And then he peeks out again. He says, stop, stop. And then, now next to him is Dame May Whitty, you see, who's observing the whole scene. And ahead of her is Margaret, what's her name? Margaret Rutherford, see, two nice ladies from Ledbury are sitting there. And one of them says, what's he doing? Madge, and so I'm reading, he's a pet animal of some kind. And suddenly the little rat sticks his head out again, and he reaches over to tap him on the nose, and the rat goes, ah!
Directed by I. M. Sadis. Rated GP. Especially recommended to animal lovers everywhere.
It's not my problem, you got sinus. I told you it would happen eventually.
Well, there's more to it than strikes the eye. Well, of course, the age of reason is all over. It's now been developed, and I'm reading here a note here. Chicago Daily News Service says that it has been finally decided by scientists that this is the age of the cockroach. It is not the age of man. And the cockroach has developed a super cockroach. You know, the army is developing a super dog. That's right. The secret, a very secret thing going, which was leaked to us, by the way, by unimpeachable sources. And yes, we've got unimpeachable sources. In fact, most major networks today have three or four unimpeachable sources on their payroll. And we have one, and they leaked it to us that the Pentagon is working on a super dog. And boy, he's something. They said, in 10 generations, they're going to have a dog that cuts any dog around. Now, a super dog, says they produce super horses, right? They produced super kangaroos, right? They produced a 7-foot race of giants that now play for the New York Nets, right? So, it will not be long before there will be...
It's a beaver! It's a raccoon! No, it's Super Dog!
Yesterday afternoon, as we left Super Dog, he was in charge of a battalion of engineers. We hear Super Dog now as he says, it is Super Dog. Hold it there.
That's enough. This is getting out of hand. I don't know how they let this go on. Silly. Yes, excuse me, we're getting a message here from the front office. Yes, I know your uncle did. He created the Mears Hound. Miss Brown's uncle created a Mears Hound 15 years ago. He bred all the local neighborhood dogs. He felt that if he could take, you know, total integration would produce a super anonymous dog that could do everything. You know, most dogs, as you know, are good at one thing. Like certain dogs are good at tearing the screen. And that's about all they can do. Other dogs are good at sitting on your foot and wetting on your shoe. They're good at that. That's all they can do. I knew one dog, for example, that could only leap straight up in the air if you held a piece of, salami out. That's all that dog could do. Just leap up in the air and bite the salami. Yes, one dog I know, the minute you walk up to this dog, lays on its back, and for want of a better expression, let's put it this way, has bladder trouble. The minute it lays on its back and you start petting it, it gets all excited, and the next thing you know, it's a soggy mess, you know. So the various dogs have their own talents, right? Some dogs are good at chasing Oldsmobiles. That's all they ever do. They're weak on Plymouths. Other dogs are good at biting. You know, snappy, good bite in the ankle. Well, Lee's uncle decided if you could take all the dogs that could do all these things and bred them over a period of 5 years, you would produce a dog that was totally universal. He could tear the screen, he could bite you, he could wet on your shoe, he could run around after Oldsmobiles, he could... Yes, you know, in fact, some dogs are fantastically good at barking. I lived next door to a dog once when I was a kid named Zero. That dog barked continuously from my 8th year through my 15th year, 24 hours a day. Never stopped barking. Had a steady yap. Nights with my old man laying in the bed next door, you know, in the next room. I could hear his cork beginning to pop. And out there in the darkness at 4 o'clock in the morning. Knows what soul searching Zero was going through, talking to himself night after night. There was nobody else out there, no other dog, just Zero. Just Zero, night after night, year after year, until finally it got to be part of the neighborhood. You know, it's like if you live in Midtown Manhattan, you're used to the sound of a distant subway, the sound of a distant rape being perpetrated. You're used to it. It's just part of the general hullabaloo of sounds around you. It's part of the regular scene. Well, this is the way it was with Zero. And nobody noticed Zero for, you know, after the first 6 or 7 years, it was just part of everything. It's like the wind blowing through the tree. Well, one night, it must have been about 2:30 in the morning, I woke up. Something was funny. I could hear my old man in the next room saying, "Something's wrong. Did you hear something? How many times have you gone through this in your life, in your house?" The old man says, "Hey, shh, be quiet, everybody. Something's wrong. Did you hear something?" Talking to my mother. "Psh, psh, 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 psh." Then I hear the bed squeaking. He's getting up, see, he's going to do battle with whatever is out there. I'm lying on my sack. And I could hear something. Couldn't tell what it was. I could hear the old man creeping around in his bedroom slippers, peeking out of the windows. "Shh, be quiet." Then it hit me. It was the first time in 10 years, probably, that Zero had stopped barking. And it woke everybody in the house up. The old man says, "That damn dog has stopped barking. What a relief!" And he flopped back in his sack. First time in a long time, we slept soundly. Well, about 4 o'clock in the morning, Zero started up again. It wasn't until next week that we discovered why Zero stopped. It was the only time anybody got robbed in our neighborhood. Zero's house was robbed, so Zero laid off that night for 1 hour. Oh. Damn dog. So, you know, some dogs are fantastic at barking. Well, I know about this guy up in Massachusetts that took all the dogs that he could find in the neighborhood and bred them together. You know, ones that were maniacal barkers and maniacal biters and maniacal wetters on your foot and the whole bit. And after 10 years, he developed the perfect dog. The first dog that was totally obnoxious. There was not one single thing, not one redeeming feature about this dog. Ugly? You never saw such an ugly dog. He bred, you know, there's certain dogs just get, you know, big head and little feet, or big feet and little head. Well, he went out and picked them all for exactly that reason. And he produced a dog of such exquisite ugliness, such exquisite, unlovely characteristics, that to this day, those are very valuable dogs. Have any of you ever heard of a Mears hound? A Mears hound? It's now a breed. Of course, it's a breed nobody wants. Everybody hates the Mears hound. But that was the idea. And so you'll find people, quite often, you'll see an ad in the New York Times that says, genuine Mears hound puppies, too. We'll pay $75 for anyone to take them off my hands. Hey, wait, you know, that brings up a point. You know, there's going to be a day, obviously, mankind is going to start breeding mankind for, you know, for all the more endearing features. I wonder if any of the features you've got are going to be included. You know, there's been other attempts at this. Yes, there has been attempts at it. You know, already they're beginning to fool around with ideas like that to breed the super person. I mean, we're already approaching it. You see it in the commercials. You see the commercials, one of the funniest commercials in the business, I think. It's a wildly funny commercial. Shows this chick, have you seen it? It's a girl, see, she's floating along through the sunlight, and you can see little glints of beautiful flecks of gold on her hair, and she's floating along, and she looks right out, and she's, no longer. Give me some beautiful music there. No longer. Oh, that's all right. You don't have any beautiful music. If I brought that up, no, please, Herb. No longer do you have to be bound by those old problems of your hair color. No longer are you bound by those unwanted reds and those unwanted browns. Now you can use Glamour Ruby and create the natural color for you. How's that for George Orwell? Stick your head in the John there and pour this dye all over your head. That's the new natural color. Of course, what you're born with is not natural. It's an old, unwanted, rotten color. So, I think it's moving on. God, where is everyone? Come on, bring him. Oh, no, stop it. Stop it, you guys. Come on, get out of the way there.
Oh,
hot dog. This is WOR New York.